be that one.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the third Sunday in Advent. Who here does not like good news? Whether it be about family, health, the economy, feel-good news stories, we like to hear good news. But the news we hear is not always good, is it? What then? How do we keep the not good news from drowning out the good news? The Lord has insights on that. And so we turn our attention to His Word this morning once again by starting with the invocation on page 3 of the service bulletin. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name.
Praise the Lord.
We worship this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Stand.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name.
Who forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases.
Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us.
Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worrying and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do. You should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In His great mercy, God made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through His called servant. All your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name.
far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord for the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life. Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you. Hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await your return. Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you.
Amen.
Please be seated. For this Sunday in Advent, a reading from Holy Scripture through the prophet Isaiah, reminding us of the good news that has been shared with us and the good news that we have opportunity to share, news which does bring comfort and gladness to the heart. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Join together in singing Psalm 111 together with the refrain.
Thank you.
We as God's people are to remain blameless. Here's the how and the why. 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. John, the first chapter. The light is to shine on Christ. There is only one Christ. And so like John the Baptist, may we continue to focus the light on Him. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Now this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Messiah." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord." Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated as we continue with our hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace thankfully remain ours in great abundance from God our Father and also through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We want to hear these words once again from the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you heard someone share with you that they have stopped listening to the news because it's so depressing? It only seems to be bad news. Maybe you're one of those that have tried to stop listening to the news. It is true that the newscasts and the headlines leading up to articles, whether they be online or in print, can be filled with depressing, tragic, bad news. As we hear about shootings and carjackings and thefts and wars and natural disasters and economic downturns, and the list of bad news could go on and on. Why does it seem, though, that the bad news seems to sell more and also get the higher ratings over good news? Well, we cannot avoid the bad news, can we? I mean, it's all around us, whether we try to stop listening to it or not. And sometimes that bad news impacts us directly. But thankfully, there is more to this society, to our world, than the bad news we can get subjected to. There is also good news that can be proclaimed through the newscast and the headlines. And let us not forget about the good news found in the Bible itself. There is good news in the Bible. In fact, it's the best news, good news ever. It never gets old hearing it, right? It speaks to all situations of life. It reminds us of why there is Christmas in the first place. And with Christmas, all that comes with it. The Lord reminds us of the good news that He has for us, and not just for you and me gathered here today, but for the entire world, past, present, and yet to come, the people who live in this world. He reminds us of that good news through the words recorded down by the selected prophet Isaiah. The good news that he was given to share is the same news that you and I are given to share. What then does that news, that good news, consist of? Well, it consists of Jesus being at the heart of that good news. The good news about Jesus that the prophet Isaiah talks about and that you and I have to talk about, it's been news that was foretold even before Isaiah. God had promised a Savior, Genesis 3. And He repeated that promise throughout the Old Testament to all the patriarchs in the nation of Israel, who then were to spread that good news to the people that they came into contact with. News about a Messiah to come. Because there was bad news going on ever since the fall into sin. And the children of Israel experienced bad news directly. But they never were without the good news of a Messiah to help them deal with that bad news. And to keep life in perspective. It's that Messiah to come promise that kept hope alive in their hearts. But as then and still today, what do too many people do with that good news from God? That good news about a Messiah to come and now a Messiah who has come. Well, sadly, more people than all the fingers and toes combined in this room reject the message, the good news about the Messiah, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Some reject Him straight out. They have no use, no time for a Messiah. especially Jesus. Some have latched on to the good news, thinking it could help them in their life. But maybe it didn't help them the way they thought it should help them, and so they too now have rejected the Messiah and what he has for them. And then there are countless people who are misguided about who God is and who the Messiah is and what's wrong with this life and all that goes on with this life. So between misdirection, misguidance, clear out rejection, this is the setting for the good news that you and I are to share, but the setting is no different than what Isaiah had to share such news in. And what is that news, that good news that he had to share? Jesus recognized that these words were talking about him. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me, Jesus, to proclaim good news to the poor. And that's what Jesus came here to do, to preach good news to the poor. Not the physically poor so much, but the spiritually poor. And who falls into that category? Who doesn't? We all do. And that's why he came. Because we're not in a position to change ourselves. To go from sin to belief. To go from really starting out with bad news to bringing about good news in our life. And so what the prophet Isaiah reminds us, Jesus was sent to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. Significant there. The year of the Lord's favor. His mercy outweighs his vengeance, his rightful vengeance, which lasts for a day. But his mercy, that's what he wants to be known for, and rightly so, because God is a God of love. One who will hold people accountable, because he is a just God. But one who wants people to come to a knowledge of his truth and be saved. And so he gives people like the prophet Isaiah and you and me the opportunity to proclaim that good news of his mercy. The good news of release from our sins, the burden that comes with sin. I mean, we cannot avoid sinning, can we, in our thoughts and in our words and our actions? I mean, sometimes we cover our mouth because we know, oh, shoot, I'm going to say something, but we're thinking it already. And then comes the guilt. At least there should be. Guilt is not necessarily a bad thing. Because it drives us to a good despair, and that good despair then should really, by the Spirit, drive us to the Lord who has done something about that guilt. He has released us from it. That's why he came. Because God recognizes that human beings, we get into debt. Not just financial debt, we get into a debt of sin each and every day. And it's a debt that you and I cannot pay. I mean, you probably know some people who are in financial debt, and it's crushing them. The sin of debt is even more crushing. And how many people are being crushed and don't know where to turn? And that's why Jesus says, you have good news to share. You can direct them, not to themselves to have to unburden that debt from them, but direct them to the one who can unburden that debt from them. That's where the year of Jubilee came in. You know, every 50 years they would celebrate the year of Jubilee, and there would be release from debts. It would happen in between those 50 years. Every seventh year, there'd be a release as well. And people who found themselves in debts that they could not pay, someone would take on that debt for them, and they'd have to work it off. And accordingly, to how many years were left before the seven or the year of Jubilee? But the year of Jubilee was something to be celebrated because that debt would be considered paid in full. And now that property that you lost out on now is back to you, and you can earn a living again on that land. And hopefully then you don't find yourselves back in debt, but you learned your lesson. Well, the year of Jubilee concept still applies for us, right? We have been released from our debt. And the Lord sets us free to live our lives debt-free, and yet it doesn't take us long to find ourselves back in debt. Thankfully, his mercy outweighs his vengeance. And his mercy is fresh and new each and every day. And so the debt that we rack up every day in our thoughts and in our words and our deeds, it is released from us, can be released from us every day. How so? Because Jesus came not just to be born in a manger, but to grow up and take the perfect life that he lived to the cross, to die that innocent death that we should have died so that we could be set free from our debt. And when he said it is finished, he meant it. You are now debt-free where it matters most. And so even though we may find ourselves in financial debt or in debt to somebody else, we can still have peace where it matters most in the inside and our heart, knowing that we are now debt-free before God thanks to Jesus. And even though our earthly circumstances may still stink to the highest heaven, it doesn't change what Christ has done for us on the cross. But it started with Christmas. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. Because if Christmas didn't happen, as we've heard before, there's no reason to celebrate. There's no good news, really. At least not lasting good news. So when Jesus came, even as a baby, he knew why he was here. Because he still was true God and always will be. And he didn't kick and scream as he grew up and saying, no, I'm going to resist what I'm sent here to do. No, he willingly took on what he was here to do. He knew, right, at age 12, I'm to be about my Father's business. I'm not here for myself. I'm here for the people of this world to release them from debt. And that's what he did. And so we celebrate each and every day. That is news that makes a difference. How many people are just going through this life wondering what their identity is and wondering what their purpose is because they don't have that good news about who gives true identity and purpose through this life. The Spirit that enabled Jesus as the Son of Man to go and do the work that he came here to do. It's the same Spirit who enables us to do what God has called us to do. He is the one who has brought us to faith. He's the one who equips us in this faith. He is the one who gives us that good news to share. That's all part of God's grace in action. That's part of God's grace, his call. That grace that God has displayed through us through Jesus, that's what provides us hope and a future. There are no do-overs. We can't go back and take back what we said. We can't go back and undo what we did. But we can be contrite, filled with sorrow. If we can take that regret and that contrition to the cross where it's been taken care of, and instead of doing a 360 in our repentance, do that 180. And by God's grace, the Spirit's enabling not go down that road of sin again. But we probably will. And thankfully, the cross doesn't run out of forgiveness. Talk about grace. Talk about hope. Talk about peace. God has clothed us with his grace, with the good news of a crucified and risen Savior. And he encourages us then time and time again, like we heard in Thessalonians, to not take that clothing off, but to keep it on and to keep it clean. And we do so by staying connected to our Lord and Savior, to that good news. Because if we take it off, we lose that connection and we no longer are blameless in the sight of God. But as long as there is breath, we have opportunity for those who have taken it off to get it back on again. Because we also recognize as we have that clothing on, as we're connected to what is good, what results? It bears good. Like the prophet Isaiah was told to emphasize. If the soil is good, so the fruit will be good. We are connected by the grace of God to good soil. And so the fruits that we are able to produce by that same Spirit are good. And we're given examples in Scripture time and time again of what that good fruit looks like. And so we are encouraged then to give evidence of this good fruit in our life. Evidence of what makes a difference in our life so it can make a difference in the lives of others. The Lord says you're still going to deal with trouble, but as you're dealing with that trouble, you have an opportunity to witness. Because as long as we live on this side of heaven, trouble and bad news will be a part of this life. And yet such can keep us grounded, such can keep us focused on where we need to focus, not on the things of this world, but on Jesus, the Savior of the world. How many people have made idols of athletes and actors and actresses and so forth, only to be disappointed later on? But with Jesus, there is no disappointment. He has done and continues to do for us what we need. That's the good news that you and I have been called to share and have been equipped to share. As Jesus continued to carry out the role of prophet, proclaiming good news himself, we too carry on that role of prophet today. We, his church, by proclaiming the good news that he has to offer. And so we invite people to come and hear that good news, to hear it in church, to hear it in our home, to hear it around a coffee table, wherever it might be. We want to get into conversations with people, engage them. Where are they coming from? What do they need to hear? If they're being filled with bad news time and time again, hopefully we can give them some good news to focus on. We also want to give evidence that we have good news to share, and we want to share it by showing respect to people. Jesus died for every human being, even though every human being may not believe that, and human beings reject him. We still are to show respect to our fellow human beings who have been redeemed by Jesus and who are in need of hearing that good news of forgiveness, so that they can be motivated to walk away from their sin and live a life of righteousness in Christ. Have you used the passages of John 3:16, for example, or even the Christmas account in Luke 2? Have you used those recently with anybody in a conversation? Of why those passages mean much to you and why you think they could mean much to somebody else? Or do we just save those passages for church? Those are not just for the church worship service. Those are passages to impact people's lives day in and day out like they impact our life. What a great place to start. Luke 2, why do you celebrate Christmas? God enables us to speak good news. It's right there in front of us. So while we cannot avoid bad news or disappointing news, thankfully that's not all the news there is. We do have good news around us to latch onto and to share. That good news starts with Jesus and what he has done for us. And that good news becomes evident in how we talk and how we live around others. God help us then continue to celebrate the good news of Christmas, because we know what that birth has led to and leads to. That's good news. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, the light of the world. Amen. We join together in a confession of faith printed out for us on page 8.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken to the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated. We pray. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for reconciling us to yourself through the sufferings and death of your dear Son. Through him, we have confidence to enter into your presence and to bring you our prayers and petitions. Out of the infinite bounty of your goodness, grant us a rich measure of your Spirit.
Let the love of Christ live in your church, so that you can flourish in all purpose. Help us to show love.
Bestow on the nations of the earth the knowledge of your mercy, that they may turn to you, the only God, and find salvation in you.
Strengthen our faith, so that we may daily come to you in prayer for all our needs.
Give a special measure of your power to those who are sorrowful or mourning, to those who are in pain or sickness, to those who may be in temptation or peril, that they may receive your blessed aid.
Help us patiently endure any chastening and afflictions you permit to come into our lives, knowing that you are using them in love to prepare us for that joyful communion with you, which is ours for all eternity.
Lord, give us always generous hearts to use what you have given, to spread your gospel near and far and bring people into heaven. Life is precious. Thank you for the gift of life able to be celebrated this week, as family and friends celebrate a birthday. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Accept our prayers and intercessions, and provide for all our needs, not because we are worthy, but for the sake of Jesus, our Savior. As we turn now to the sacrament, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power.
By his incarnation, he became one of us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled your holy will. By his instant death, he overcame hell. By his rising from the grave, he opened heaven.
Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting.
Amen.
We also pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation,
our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he gave it thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. We pray. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may hold firmly to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Just as the first reflection question emphasizes, too, how does the good news of Jesus' comfort and peace, how does that comfort you and give you peace? And then how can you use how that helps you with somebody else you know who's going through a rough time in life? Something to, again, think about further during the week. Just a few announcements. Again, Bible study today will take place in the Multipurpose Center. Make your way to the far side of the gym, the long tables. We'll use those today because they'll be setting up for the children's Christmas service in here. And there are no chairs in the chapel, so we're going to move it to the multipurpose center. And so Sunday school then will not be starting in the chapel unless you want to stand. It will start it in the Luther room. There's a piano in the Luther room. So we'll just that's where we have the class as well. If you still want to sign up for a poinsettia plant, you can. The sign-up sheet there is on the counter underneath the TV in the lobby. Our third and final midweek Advent service this coming Wednesday, Lord willing, at 6:30 with a supper ahead of time at 5:30 in the Multipurpose Center. And Just a reminder that JOL Women's Bible Study will not be meeting this week, as listed in the bulletin, and actually will be off until January 11th. See other things going on at church and school upcoming weeks in the weekly news. Before you go today, we have a school video update.
Hello, St. Mark's. Merry Christmas, and welcome to another school video update. My name is Darren Vogt, and I have the privilege to serve as principal of our school. Part of my responsibilities is to keep everyone informed of the happenings of our school. So let's take a look. On October 27th, we held our annual Trunk or Treat event on our campus. We once again were blessed with a lot of people from our community attending this event, and they were also able to learn more about our ministry. Thank you to everyone who participated in decorating a trunk, and thank you to all of our trick or treaters. We hope to see you there next year as we continue to grow this great event. The 4th through 6th grade basketball season has officially come to an end. The girls team had a very successful season and just fell short of the championship in an overtime game. The boys worked very hard and showed a lot of growth and dedication throughout the season. We are very proud of our teams, especially since we are the only team in our conference playing with fourth graders. I have to say, the future looks bright for Lions Athletics. On November 15th, we held our annual Spelling Bee competition. Eighth grader Angie once again took home the championship. She is our three-time reigning champion of our school. Angie will be taking a test in the near future to see if she qualifies for the regional competition. We also had several field trips this past quarter. The 7th and 8th grade went to Old Sacramento and took the underground tour, checked out the museum by doing a scavenger hunt, and learned about the printing press. The 5th through 6th grade learned about California's agriculture by going to the California Agricultural Museum. And the 3rd and 4th grade went to the B Street Theater and saw the production, "Tis the Season Around the World." Our junior kindergarten and kindergarten will be joining our Mornings with Mommy group and visiting a fire station in January. Mornings with Mommy is a great program that is run through our church. Twice a month, mothers and their preschool-aged children get together in a classroom on our campus or someplace in the community to have the kids learn and play, while the moms get to enjoy some company of other moms. If you want to learn more about this great program, please contact Mrs. Vogt, who serves as our Mornings with Mommy coordinator. The St. Mark's Youth Basketball League, or known as SMIBLE, will begin in the month of January. We are once again, as expected, full for the season with 105 students participating this year. Please make sure to check out the website to see the rosters and the schedule for the upcoming weeks. Every participant will also be going home with a St. Mark's Youth Basketball at the end of the event. With Christmas service practices, sporting events, classes, and homework, our students continue to work hard and do their best to glorify God. January 12th will mark the end of the second quarter. January 15th, there is no school as we observe Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And January 16th will mark the beginning of the third quarter and report cards will be coming home. Speaking of January 16th, on this day, re-enrollment for the 2024-2025 school year will begin for current students. This gives our school families 2 weeks before we open enrollment to the public starting on January 30th. Please remember your child early, or please register your child early, as we want to avoid your child possibly losing a spot in our classrooms. We also have already released the school year calendar for 2024-2025. Please make sure to look at the calendar, as there have been made some major changes from our traditional calendars of the past. Finally, St. Mark's is currently gathering donations to be auctioned off at the Legacy Soiree that will take place on May 18th. We are looking for new items only this year, so please help us gather donations from companies and individuals with skill sets to help raise funds for our tuition assistance fund. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact myself or Mrs. Malone in our school office. As tradition at St. Mark's, students in 3rd through 8th grade painted a beautiful mural on the windows of our gymnasium. This year, remember that when we sing Joy to the World, the joy that our Savior has come is something that is always with us and never fades away. May God give you and your family joy this Christmas season. From all of us here at St. Mark's, Merry Christmas, and remember,